Whew. Let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. Is everybody there? I'm getting there. I really am. I know John didn't leave yet. In verse 1. Whew. Let's speak it together. Because what you speak is what you eat, and what you eat is what you become. Amen? So if I speak light, I eat light. That means I become more light. That means spirit begin to leave me. How many of you know a believer can still have a demon? They can be loaded. Hallelujah. In verse 1, let's speak it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's pretty amazing. So God was not only the Word, but He was also in the beginning when He decided to create this realm. Amen? Create this universe, create this time. It says He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. It was in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Darkness cannot comprehend until it partakes of light. So one of the things the enemy tries to do is prevent you from partaking of light, because he knows he can keep you in a state of deception. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for as a what? He was a witness. He was a what?
Witness.
A witness. To bear witness of the light that all through him might who? Believe or follow. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. He was not the true light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light so that people could see. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. The reason why the world did not comprehend or understand Jesus, who became flesh, was because they were living in another realm. They were living in another, what we call, reality. There's two realities, and there is a reality that is temporary, and there's a reality that is eternal. There's a reality that is false, and there's a reality that is true. And there is a voice of reality. Does everybody understand this? We've talked about voices already before. The voice of memory and so forth. There's a voice of deception. And look at, without us discerning the voice of what's influencing us, we'll easily go astray. Amen? And he said, in verse 11, would you read it with me? He came to his own, the ones that he created, and his own did not receive him because they could not understand that reality. They could not comprehend the reality of Jesus because he was the voice of reality, the true reality, and they couldn't get it. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, to become children of another reality. Remember, this whole operation is not religion. We are not in a religious state of being. This is not religious. Jesus was not religious. When Jesus came, they both were speaking, behold, the kingdom of God. They were speaking about another reality. And he was trying to tell us that the fight is to access this reality that always was, always will be. But don't get caught up in this reality that you live in, because God has granted access to the reality where you and I really belong and where we first came from. But we must understand that there are voices. There is a voice of reality. It is a voice of influence. There is a voice of deception. But the true reality is a voice of truth. Amen. So he said this, he said, look it, anyone who is willing to receive my kingdom, my truth, if anyone's willing to listen, to hear, and put into operation the voice of reality, the true voice of reality, you can access my kingdom. And he said, look it, as many as received him, they accepted him, they received him. See, if you don't believe, you don't execute. You say yes, 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 and never do, do, do. He said, but as many as received me, accepted me, believed me, They became my children. They became my offsprings. In verse 13, what does it say? They said, and to those who believe in my name, in verse 13, who were what? Born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man or religion, but of God. What had occurred is that individual, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you enter another reality. Now, most people don't even know they have. Because the assistant of the other reality that makes the other reality so real to you is called the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the reality is a myth. Does everybody understand? And see, one of the things is the voice of deception, the reality that you and I live in right now, even though Jesus walked in both realities. He expressed, because he was a voice of true reality, but he came into this reality to make a way for me and you. It says here, he said, and the word, the voice of reality became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that grace, of course, we've talked about before, isn't some kind of unmerited favor. It's unmerited love. You earn God's favor. Amen? Salvation is a gift. Now, in salvation, there's a plan to maintain it. That's where he says you must work out your own salvation. So, in grace, grace is God's plan. Grace is backed by the voice of reality. Anything that's not backed by the true voice of reality is deception and of the devil and the powers of darkness. Amen? Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. And Isaiah 14. Glory, glory, and glory. Isaiah 14, in verse 9. What's the first word? Hell. Hell. See, there really is a hell. Hell is separation from God forever. That is called the fire of wrath. Hell from beneath is excited about you. Hell is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It is raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Has your pomp or arrogance brought down you down to where? Sheol is hell. And the sound of your stringed instruments, in other words, he's talking about Lucifer, who was the praise and worship leader of the universe. He's speaking about this is what's going to happen. This was prophetic of the end result of Lucifer. He said, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms cover you. No more of the glory. Verse 12, he confirms it. What does he say? Speak it. For you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. You are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Now, Lucifer was a high-ranking angel. He was a cherub. He was anointed. He covered the earth with praise and worship. He covered the universe with praise and worship. That's why music can really mess you up, depending on what you're listening to. That's why it's our responsibility to find the source of everything of that music, isn't it? Whatever the source is of whatever you're doing. Hallelujah. In verse 13, what does he say? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. People say that without saying that. They live it without saying it. Because there's something that the Lord said. He said, only those who do my will go home. The rest will end up in hell. And then his response to Lucifer was, yet you shall be brought down to hell, the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Caused wars, caused mankind to kill one another, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness, who caused addiction, who caused perversion, who promoted lust, murder, killing, who destroyed its cities. who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. Wow. Is this the one? Again, Lucifer, fallen angel, once beautiful, he became rebellious to the order of creation and the counsel of God. He was removed from the position and authority, and his beauty was changed also. That's where the word comes from of devil, beast, dragon, Satan. Why? Because he's now a hater of God. He's a hater of his creation. He's a hater of his offsprings. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He, all mankind, he is the voice of deception, and he's the ruler of the temporary reality. People don't get it. They just go ahead and live their lives not realizing what's going on. He speaks through technology, education, movies, music, fame and riches, media. His purpose is to keep people in the temporary reality. So what his voice does is try to create a reality in a person's imagination or mind. So that person lives in a false reality, never knowing who they truly are in Christ. Amen? Is everybody okay? Amen. It separates them from the reality of the eternal reality and their true identity. In Revelation chapter 12, Lucifer is a very, very bad boy. And he cannot be redeemed. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. We are entering many things right now, and there are time sequences that God speaks about, and I'm not going to speak about them today, but Tuesday I am, because we need to know where we are and what's getting ready to happen. You know, the Hebrew language, every part of Hebrew language is numbers. God is a man of numbers. Everything is translated to numbers. Everything is mathematically calculated. Those are hidden mysteries of God. And he has set up everything according to appointed times and seasons. And we're getting ready to enter a whole nother arena here shortly. And we must know where we are and what's going on. And we'll talk about that Tuesday. It's actually associated with Revelation chapter 12. That's music. Revelation 12 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Can everybody hear me? Woohoo! You can now. Revelation 12, 7, let's speak it. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and a dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the what? The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hello. Listen, Lucifer lost his beauty. Amen. Now, I want you to grab hold of something, because a dragon, there are animals they call dragons and so forth. A dragon is a breathing fire reptilian. He is a breathing fire reptilian body. Is everybody with me? With wings. In other words, it can move, it can fly. That's why Lucifer is called a dragon, because it represents that his mouth is nothing but shame, lies. He speaks things. And he is a fallen angel. He is also a shapeshifter. He can transform himself. That's why the word says he comes as an angel of light. Again, this is not a religious thing. This is a reality, because we are in a war. Most people don't even know we're in a war. And it's a war over eternity. And what is real to you and me? So we see here that that's why he was known as the serpent in the garden. That's a reptilian. Amen? And a serpent speaks and is like a snake and is sly and cunning. A devil is a wicked being with a body. Does everybody got it? That's what a devil is. People look at a devil as just a demon. A demon is a disembodied spirit. Even a devil can be a fallen angel. When they came into this realm, they became devils. Does everybody understand this? Now, when the word was translated multiple times, they used the same lingo and the same thing as devils, cast out devils, and so forth and whatever. But if you really go to the book of Mark in 16, it says, and we will cast out demons. Amen. Because a demon is a disembodied spirit that needs a body. But Lucifer, fallen angels, are known as beasts, fallen angels. Now, principalities are angels, but there are clusters of them. They're fallen angels. I mean, there's actual principalities of God's angels. But these are fallen angels, those that have left the kingdom of God and followed Lucifer. And Lucifer was one of the three main chief archangels. So he was in control of a third of the angels. So that third that was under his control, they followed him. Is everybody with me? Okay. So he says here in verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to understand that he was cast to this reality. He was removed from an eternal reality into a temporary reality. That's why he is in the second heaven. That's where they rule from. Verse 10. He said, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, the voice of reality, the true voice of reality, has come. For the accuser of our brethren, now Satan is also known, that name is also associated with accuser. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. He's been cast down where? Into this reality. And they overcome him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's through repentance, by activating the blood of Christ. And by the word of their testimony, in other words, the word of God, because Jesus is the testimony of prophecy. Amen? So his word, Jesus is the word. And they did not love their lives to death. In other words, they realized that to maintain position in an eternal reality, they must lose their life in this reality. Is everybody with me? That's why when you and I come to Christ, we give him our life in this of this reality so that we can live the life of an eternal reality. There is an exchange being made. That's what he made on the cross. And again, here is what's very important. You cannot serve two realities. You can't. The end result is the devil will take you over. Because the word says you cannot serve two masters. The end result is the devil will win. So you must get both feet into the true reality. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, we know that Satan is the ruler of this world. And it says something very important. It says, verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But what? Woe. Woe. W-O-E. Without eternity. Woe. To the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil, a fallen angel, wicked, has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a what? A what? Short time. That's what we're going to talk about Tuesday. He knows he has a short time. So he's going to do everything he can. That's why you see all kinds of wickedness going on. That's why you see everything of what's happening where they're not holding back anymore. They don't even care if you know. They don't care if you know. Because time is short. They know that they got to do whatever they can because Jesus is coming. So they got to do whatever they can before Jesus comes. So they're going to try and kill, steal, and destroy as much as possible. But you got to understand, they believe their own deception also. They believe that they can overcome. And Satan has convinced many people to follow him and giving them fame and fortune of this reality, which is only temporary. And he's convinced them that they can overcome Jesus. Or Jesus is not God. He's just a prophet. That's what many religions try to expose Jesus as. But he's not. He's God. Who came? He is the voice of reality that came into this reality so people can escape this temporary reality. Amen? Is everybody okay? John chapter 8. And he keeps people in this reality, caught up by this reality, by lying to them, because he's the voice of deception. So he lies to them. And he lies to them in multiple ways. He's been lying to me and you. And believe me, that was the first thing that I realized when I had my visitation from the Lord 23 years ago. After he slam dunked me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and brought me to the other side, and serpent came out of my body, and I came to my senses for a minute. I went, whoa, I've been lied to my whole life. I've been lied to. And it's not that my parents or the churches I was going to, believe it or not, meant to lie to me, but the voice of deception infiltrated. Look how the voice of deception infiltrated a 12-step program. It started off with a visitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to the man that started it, who got healed and delivered. And then the voice of deception stepped in and changed it. Now people worship light bulbs. Maybe they ought to stick their finger in the socket and get a real zapper. They may see Jesus. At least they'll know the truth. Hallelujah. Glory. John chapter 8. Does everybody get understand that? Now they go around the room and curse themselves. I mean, look at it. It's a good place to start. I started there. I was with a group of people that wanted to get free. But the voice of truth, the voice of reality came to me and said, you know what? Look around the room. How much more truth do you think you get out of here? I said, none. I don't even know why I was saying none. I didn't know anything anyways. I just said none. And he said, get out. And I did. And then the voice of reality, the voice of truth came. I went, whoa, to the earth. Woe to them who don't know. Whoa. John 8:42. Voice of reality. Let's speak it, please. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you understand my words? Why aren't you using what I'm telling you? Why don't you believe me? Because they were caught up in another reality, the temporary one. He said, because you are not able to listen. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. For you are of your father, the what? The devil. Amen. He's telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the temporary club. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a what? Murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. So please grab hold of this. The only truth that is in this reality is creation, until Jesus came. So you can grab hold of the truth of reality of God by the things that were created, the stars, the moons, the planets, and so forth. That's the truth. Amen? Until God came, till the voice of reality came into this realm. Now, before Jesus came, the voice of reality spoke through men, didn't he? Amen? Prophetically, speaking things and preparing. I mean, they're all preparing. He said, but you don't stand in, you are a murderer. The devil is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. There's no love in him either. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me or follow me. You don't accept it. You don't believe it. You don't receive it. And you don't execute it. You don't use it. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not follow me? He who is of God hears God's words. That is a position. I mean, in true reality, we all came from God, didn't we? Amen. He created us all. We all came from the eternal realm into a temporary realm. But he's saying, in this reality, only those who hear me are mine. Because this ain't about religion. Amen? This is about reality. He who is of God hears my words. Therefore, you don't hear my words because you're not of me. That's where he says, abide in me. Amen? Abide in me. So, You and I were born originally from the true reality. That's where we came from. And then we were born in a temporary reality. The problem is all memory was removed. We don't even remember where we came from. That's why we walked this earth going, who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? But God says, I knew you before you were. You were in me before you were. Born, now we're born in this reality, amen, where there's the voice of deception. The only true voice of reality is what's created around us. And we've got to be careful what is influencing us so we're not associated with selfishness, amen, or self-righteousness. Selfishness or self-righteousness or selfish ambitions, because that's what keeps a person still entangled in this reality. They haven't given up their life yet. I mean, you think about it. How many decisions are we always making without asking the Lord? You know, even greed is a part of this reality, isn't it? Anything to keep a person more entangled in this reality. That's why the Lord says a soldier mind cannot be entangled in the affairs of this world. That's entangled. In other words, having deep rooted in this reality. You and I have been pulled from this reality. We've been freed from this reality. But let me tell you, God will test you in multiple ways. He tests us to see where we're at. He tests us in our works. He tests us. He challenges us in certain areas to see where we're at, whether we're obedient. Amen. You know, one of the things the word says is in the latter days, perilous times will come, men will be lovers of themselves. And the second thing is lovers of money. Lovers of self, lovers of money. Do you know people still out there that don't tithe? They don't believe in tithing. I'm not here to teach on tithing today. But it's amazing how many people will give $8.25. Like they count it to the penny of their 10%. It's because they're still entangled in this reality. First of all, that's not, none of that money is ours. It's all his. Does everybody get it? I mean, you don't think God checks us out what we do in that? No way, man. I'm telling you, if I'm going to, when I'm tithing, I don't give $62 or $63. I round it off to the next big one. Why? Because he who gives sparingly reaps sparingly. Amen. And you don't think God checks out to see if we're selfish? Well, you little selfish flesh creature. You can't give up 2 more bucks? Think about that. You don't think he looks at that stuff? What, you got 2 pairs of shoes? You can't give up that one? You can't give up that? Believe me, he checks us in all this stuff to see if we're hoarders of this reality. Amen? We're to be givers in every area, no matter what. He gave and we give. Amen? Is everybody okay? And Colossians 1. Believe me, when we give money, God always tells you, round it off. Round it off. And you may think, okay, I'll round it off to the next $5. He's saying, no, round it off. He may tell you, round it off to the next 50, 20, 30, or 100. But don't get accustomed to just giving what you think. Give what he tells you to. Why? Because he's checking me and you. And no matter whether it's finances or time, whatever it may be, it doesn't have to just be finances. He always wants to know if you and I are willing to go the extra mile. Give more of our... Why? Because the more you give of yourself, the more you get more of him. Hey, you sow righteousness, you reap righteousness. You sow respect, you reap respect. You sow dishonor, you reap dishonor. What you sow is what you reap. Nobody outruns that law. Whether you believe it or not, you don't outrun it. You can talk to all the guys in my class in jail. What you reap is what you sow. I mean, what you sow is what you reap. And vice versa. Colossians 1, verse 9. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you get that? Don't cheat God. Don't cheat Daddy. Now, does God love us unconditionally? Yes, he does. He loves us unconditionally. But he's trying to get more to us. Amen? But see, where a person is so entangled in this reality, they can't see that. They're short-sighted. We don't have a life no more. So we're not to be fighting for our life, we're to be fighting for his life. In verse 9, let's speak it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully what? Pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, and it's not just about increasing in reading the Word of God. Does anybody understand this? Anybody can read a book and increase what's in it. But increasing in the knowledge of God is increasing in your relationship and experiences with him. Knowing more of who he is. Getting more understanding of his character. Really knowing what pleases him and what displeases him. Again, it's not about sin anymore. It's about what pleases him. Amen? Whether you're doing the right thing before him or not. Whether you are that witness. You know, if you're looking at yourself and saying, look at me, and I need to get rid of this and get rid of that and do this and do that to be a witness, well, then you're not in right standing with God. Amen? You're just not. But he wants us to get in right standing, not because of fearing going to hell. That should be the last thing. But for some people, it should be the first thing. But that you know that you're pleasing him. The greatest joy you can have is to know that you're pleasing God. Okay. In verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has what? He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. But I want you to know that the enemy, the voice of deception, wants to disqualify us. That he works to disqualify us in every area. That's his job. That's how he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, which is false reality, the voice of deception. He's delivered us from that and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the what? Image of the invisible God, the true reality, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and what? Two realities, visible and invisible. Has everybody got it? Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. So, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, is everybody there? Let's speak it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who what? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So, remember, the voice of deception wants to prevent, stop, suppress the truth. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. In other words, reality of God is seen all over. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? So no human has an excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, the voice of deception promoted a false reality. Did you ever, you could have read something or thought something, or you discussing with something, and you know, because every voice releases an image, amen? It builds a picture. And somebody might be talking to you about something, and it sets up a whole different reality or an image of this person. And then when you meet that person, you found out that what they were telling you was incorrect. Amen? And that's what the enemy does in this whole reality. You got to remember that he is speaking. The voice of deception rules this earth. He is speaking in every area, trying to get people mankind to not only kill one another, but trying to get access so he can send his demons into people so they can kill one another. Because no human would rape a child. Does somebody understand that? No natural human of a DNA of humanity would do anything in that degree. It has to be a demon in that person. Same thing with lying. People wouldn't lie. They would be honest without a demon. Does everybody understand? Murdering one another. Look at what addiction does to people because they're demonized. They can't stop what they're doing. Nobody could understand me or how crazy I was. I was out there, man. Sheesh. I saw them. I danced with the devil many times. They took me out multiple times. They promised me fame and fortune. Almost retired. Got sentenced to life. It was the wrong retirement. They create a false reality that you're going to get away with things. You know what I'm saying? Like God don't know. I mean, you know, how stupid can we be and still breathe? God don't know what you're doing. Disconnect. So I want you to grab hold of the voice of deception promotes a false reality to bring disconnect with you and God, you and your Father. And then he replaces that disconnect with a false connect with religion. Oh, I know the word. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Good people don't go to heaven. Only that produce righteousness. Amen? Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Romans. Did we finish this yet? Praise God. I don't think so. Verse 22. They professing to be wise, they became idiots, fools, boneheads, dumb, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men. In other words, they began to worship creation instead of the creator. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness. He said, go ahead. You don't want my reality? Stay in yours. In what? Lust. Lust is an overwhelming desire. That's where people become codependent. That's bound by a spirit of lust. Addiction is a spirit of lust. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who exchanged the what? The true reality, the truth of God for the what? For a lie, false reality. And they began to worship the creature and serve the creature. They worship creation and serve the creature, Lucifer, rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Invisible attributes are objects of distinction. In other words, where God, these are objects that God created, creation. In other words, reveal himself, real. I mean, I'll never forget one day, just strange things happened. I was driving down the road, and I was in one of our cars, and the sunroof was open. And I just happened to look up, and it was a full moon. And I thought, man, reality hit me. I'm on a planet. Snap. I'm on a snapping planet. I mean, I'm not on the moon. I'm not on Mars. But I'm on one of them. I'm on a piece of material matter that's floating in the world and universe. What the heck? How did I get here? The reality was, I even recognized it. See, we get so caught up in this reality that we don't see the attributes of God. The enemy steals who we really are. That's his job, and he does it well. When we just get caught up in everything else, our desires are overtaken by false reality instead of the true reality. Invisible attributes, objects of distinction. They rejected the true voice of reality and worship the voice of deception by exchanging the truth for a lie. They fell into lust and disconnect, and they lost the eternal reality. Wrath comes on them because they reject the true reality, the voice of reality, and the love of truth. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody okay? Can we go further? I got one that wants to go further. Thank you. Hallelujah! Listen, what is reality? It's making it real, isn't it? making it real. We want to make things real. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, let's speak it. Therefore what? Do not lose heart. Don't quit. Don't give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, if you're cooperating. For our light affliction, believe me, there is an affliction. And that affliction is that fight of reality. It's constantly pouncing off of you every day. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, this reality is always hard-pressing you, trying to tell you, come on, stay here. Stay in this reality. Don't look beyond this. No, don't. Don't keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on everything else here. We're hard-pressed all the time. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we don't look at the things which are what? Seen or temporary. But the things which are not seen, which is eternal, which is true reality. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. There is a fight between both realities, isn't there? Always. So you and I are always trying to make what's real. The voice of truth, which is the true voice of reality, is always trying to make it real to me and you. What's real, who we are, where we came from, what's going on. So that we're not fighting for us anymore. We no longer live a life of survival. We live a life of surrender. In 1 John chapter 3, voice of reality. Voice of reality. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of the love that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. In other words, we are children of an eternal reality, of another reality. And it has not been revealed to us what we shall be. Hallelujah. But we know that when he is revealed, when the voice of reality is revealed again, what? We shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin, whoever associates with the voice of the stranger, deception, also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. It's called the presence of evil. And you know that he was manifested. Jesus was manifested. The voice of reality, the voice of truth was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin, and whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. In other words, that influence. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the voice of reality was manifested, the Son of God, that he might destroy the voice of deception. Does everybody get it? The devil. Whoever has been born of God does not allow sin to have dominion over him, and his seed remains. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. They're exposed. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, is not of the eternal order, nor is he who does not love his brother. See, that reality is an eternal order of God Almighty. It is a whole kingdom in itself. And you and I have access to that kingdom all the time. Access. Even though we are in this reality, we realize that it's temporary. But we have access to the true reality. Does everybody understand? They are both tangible, you know. Even though it's unseen, but it's still tangible. Amen? Everybody do this. Move your hand. Come on, make some wind. You feel it? Amen? Something's there. Now stop. Do you feel it? No. Is it still there? Yeah. It's two realities. Amen? Glory. Why? Acts 17. Woohoo! Acts 17, verse 22. Oh, it's a good day to die to yourself. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I perceive in all things that you are very religious. Because you keep worshiping the objects of this reality. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him is the one I want to proclaim to you, because he's of another reality. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we what? We live, we move, and have our being. As also some of your poets have said, we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of stupidity and arrogance and ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent, turn away from it. Because he has appointed a time, a day, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. In other words, we move, we breathe, and have our being in him, or an existence in God, with two realities. So both realities are actually in God. Amen? All right. Now, one is temporary, one is eternal. In this it says we move. That's motion. You know, when God spoke, he's still speaking. In other words, what he spoke did not stop. That's what maintains creation, because things are constantly moving. You know, I think it said that the earth moves at, what, 17,000 miles an hour or something? But we don't realize it. We don't realize how fast the earth is spinning and moving. Do you know we're also moving through the universe? And we're moving. Everything's a movement. So even when you and I speak, it's moving. That's why when God spoke, it's moving. And everything that you and I, so when we speak light, it's moving. It's moving on our behalf. When God spoke, everything's maintained by what God spoke. It's still moving. Amen? So motion is movement in the temporary, isn't it? Motion is movement in the temporary. In fact, when you think about it, in the temporary, emotion is which is the feelings that are being moved. That's why we get emotion. Amen? Because it's a feeling that gets moved. It's a moving feeling. It moves a person. Anger can move a person to do something stupid. Amen. Lust can move a person to do something stupid. But there are things that can move a person. So that's why we look for peace, joy, and righteousness of God, which is the emotion of God's love. Amen. Anything that's not that is not God's love. Is everybody okay? So you and I are influenced by the voices of either of God or of the enemy, of deception, the voice of reality or the voice of deception, by the unseen realm. And what is it trying to do? It's causing us to make a decision. It's causing us to try to agree with. So a decision is made that will either keep us more entangled in the temporary reality or free us to walk in the eternal reality. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 2. Voice of reality. I mean, if you look at in the media right now and all the news and everything, all the media is trying to sway for the elections. Well, not all. I think there's maybe one or two media that's not trying to sway. But anyways, everything else is under the Luciferian agenda. I mean, you can see that everything, it's just incredible. But people don't even see it. It's incredible, the difference. People don't grab hold of the Luciferian agenda compared to the Christ agenda. They don't see it, because they're so caught up in the temporary reality. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 9. Let's speak it. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In other words, they did not love the truth. They didn't love the truth. So listen, if you don't love the truth, then you love deception. And that's what's going to keep you in the temporary reality and entangle us. Amen? For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the what? The lie. that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Because the voice of deception will always promote unrighteousness. They did not love the truth. They did not love the voice of reality. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrew 11. Verse 24. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Is everybody there? Are you ready for this? By faith. Faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith
is spiritual sight. Think about that. Faith is spiritual sight. Why? I want you to understand that the spirit of faith is there to serve us. Why? Because he's going to connect. The spirit of faith is there to serve us. He waits to serve us to what? To connect us. To connect us into the arena so that we could see the true reality. Associate with the voice of reality. So when you, faith is not still, it's movement. So when you hear and you receive and believe, it brings vision. It's spiritual sight. So your faith is always opening to the true reality, the eternal reality. You're always seeing through the temporary reality. You know, faith is trusting in God even when you don't understand. Amen? You trust him even though you don't understand it all yet. In other words, you may not understand it yet, but you know it's coming. So you're going to trust him. That's faith. Why? Because you're looking to the unseen realm, the true reality associated with the voice of reality. Has everybody got that? Okay, let's do this. Speak this together. And verse 24, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Why? Because he had a reality of what reality was. Amen? Of the unseen. He believed in an everlasting. Look at this. 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. So I want to. He choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Why? That's called faith. He had spiritual sight. He looked to the reward. He knew that he would be rewarded by standing firm on what truth is and loving truth. By faith he what? Forsook Egypt, which means bondage, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured by making God a reality to him. He saw him. David said, I always put the Lord before me because he saw him. Does everybody understand that? That's called faith. Making what is unseen to become seen. It's faith. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch him. Now, this is powerful. Faith, spiritual sight, seeing the true reality, directed by the voice of reality. Faith serves me and you by connecting to the true reality, trusting God when not everything makes sense. When look at what doesn't make sense makes faith. Amen?
Amen.
In John chapter 6, we need to get this into us today because of what's coming. Glory. John 6:53. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? I hope so. Glory. Let's speak it. John 6:53. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. You will have no life in you. Boy, did they freak out. They actually thought they were going to cook Jesus. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day, just to bring confirmation to you. Here it is. My flesh is food indeed. And my blood is drink indeed. In other words, his flesh was known as the Word, and his blood was known as the Spirit. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. That's why when we do communion, it's remembrance of what he paid. As the living Father sent me, and I live, because the Father who so He who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live for what? Forever. These things he said to them in the synagogue, and he taught in the Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is nuts. This is a hard thing. Who can understand this stuff?" See, they did not have faith. Because just they, even though they didn't understand, amen, they departed instead of enduring. They didn't trust him. Watch this. He said, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is hard saying. Who can understand?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about it, this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend when he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. They are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more because they had no faith, because they wanted to understand everything. But they, look at, you and I must trust. Understand, your relationship with God is not always an understanding relationship. It's a trust relationship. Understanding will come, though. Amen? Will come. We've got to what? Trust. That's faith. Therefore, hallelujah. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He recognized another reality. "Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the voice of eternity, the voice of reality, the voice of truth, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a what? Devil." Of course, he spoke of Judas Iscariot. That word Iscariot is also in Latin translation meaning murderer. The son of Simon, for it was he who will betray him, being one of the 12. See, this is where when there's no faith, people quit. They stop. You and I must grow in realities of faith. Amen? Making it real. Making the other side real to you in everything that we do. Is everybody okay? John chapter 1, verse 23. Voice of reality. Verse 23, let's speak it. John chapter 1, verse 23. He said to them, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. And they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered him, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one of you, among you whom you do not know, and it is he who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he whom I said afterward, after me, who comes, a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I do not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John was born witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the what? Holy Spirit. Which would bring reality of the unseen. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples looking at Jesus. As he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they what? They followed him. In John 14, you and I are witness of the voice of reality. Amen? We are the voice in the wilderness, which is, this is called the wilderness, this reality. It's the wilderness. It's a temporary reality. Making a way for the voice of true reality to come and manifest. Because he's coming soon. Ain't no doubt about it. John 14. Is everybody there? Verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. What were in here? This realm? No, in the other one. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, of course, said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it's sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen who? The Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? The voice of reality that came into this temporary reality to make sure that we were of the way. Faith. Making what is unseen to become seen. Amen? Evil is false reality. That's just evil. It's always promoting false reality. I'm going to close at Galatians 5. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to maintain fellowship. That's why it's so important to be abiding. Why? Because what begins to happen is you begin to lose reality. It becomes taken from you. Then you get caught up and emotional reality. Amen. You get caught up in emotions. You allow emotions to dictate decisions because you're losing that. Galatians 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. I say then what? Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of this reality. Walk in the Spirit. Wow, you can walk in the Spirit, you'll have the truth of the true reality, the voice of reality will associate with you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you don't do the things that you desire or wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law of death and hell and sin. Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are what? This is the works of the temporary reality by the influence of the voice of deception. Wanting to keep us, look at when you begin to cooperate with the voice of deception, you begin to root into the temporary reality. You build root. You begin to build your house here. You begin to look more of building all kinds of things in this realm than building the things in the other realm. Amen? And unless you allow the Lord to build a house, we what? Labor in what? Vain. We have no idea how many things we've done in vain. Thinking we've done, we call it doing for God, but God never told us to do it. That's called vain. Now the works of the flesh, the works of this reality are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is associated with drugs and addiction, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish what? Ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries and alike, and anything like this, which there are plenty more, we'd have to fill a whole other book, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, then what are you going to inherit? Hell. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, that means control over you. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, arrogant, or prideful, or provoking one another, or envying one another. That would move you right out of the Spirit. Amen? Listen, we are in a critical time. I can't emphasize this enough. Maintain an association with the voice of reality, the voice of truth. Don't get so caught up in this realm and don't get rooted in this false reality that is temporary. You want to stay rooted. That's where the word says, where your treasures are laid up is where your heart's at. Amen? Maintain that relationship. Stay connected. Abide. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We want to be sons and daughters that are well-pleasing to you, Lord. Cut us loose from this reality. One day we'll be out of here. Thank you. But in the meantime, keep us filled with your spirit that we may walk in a divine nature and be empowered to have dominion over this place so that we may have access to home, the true reality, activating faith, making connection to you every day. In Jesus' name.